Well, happy Monday, everybody. It's the 2nd of November, 2020. 11-2-2020. Lots of twos in there. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening today, and I hope you had a safe and candy-filled, though I don't know how good it was during the pandemic, Halloween. I'm going to ask some of the educators here we have on right now to see what they did for their kids and for the students, if anything was done with Halloween beyond what we're going to be talking about, which is creating a wonderful school community that's keeping learners connected during this pandemic. We're going to go out to California. I'm in Maine, as all of you know, to Lindsay USD, which is in Tulare County. I hope I pronounced that right, in California. Okay, they were selected as an example, that not the whole school district, one of the schools there, the Kennedy Learning Community School, was selected as an exemplar school by my good friends over at Curriculum Associates. They do my work for me in finding these incredible schools that we can talk to and pass on the good work that they do. So on that note, I've got Christine McJunkin, who's the principal of Kennedy Learning Community. That's exactly what they call the school. And also Melissa Hawkins, who's the coordinator of educational systems and programs. And my good friend Ross Romano helped me put together this show over at Mind Rocket Media. So I want to thank you, Ross. Hope everything's well with you. We're going to archive this show over at ace-ed.org. That's ACE-ED.org, ace-ed.org, and many of you know that that is the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education, ACE-ED, the American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. Membership is free to every educator out there. We're for pre-K-12 for the most part, though we do a little work in higher ed as well. We're all about equity and access to education, especially during these times, and we're very active in that. So please join with us. Again, free to educators. It is an industry-supported consortium. And boy, the industry really steps up to help us and educators get the job done. If you go to ace-ed.org, you'll see our wonderful magazine, Equity and Access, which is an online journal. You'll see all the podcasts we do. The icons are there, etc. Please just click through and enjoy everything we do. We work hard to make it happen. Join with us at ace-ed.org. And without further ado, I'd like to hit on these little icons, and I'm going to go all the way from Maine to California. Melissa, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
That was a quick trip, easier than flying, I got to tell you. I'm Larry. Welcome to the show. Right,
thank you.
Especially these days. Melissa Hawkins is the coordinator of educational systems and programs, and I like the school district already. We're going to learn all about it. Lindsay Unified School District. And Christine, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Christine. I'm Larry. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here, okay, taking the time, okay. By the way, I have to say it's 7:30 in the morning out there, so thank you, ladies. I'm in Maine. It's 10:30. I'm 3 hours ahead of you. So just in case you missed the news this morning, nothing much happened, okay, 3 hours ahead of you. All right, so there you go. All right, I'm going to start with Christine. Christine, instead of calling your elementary school a elementary school, although it is an elementary school, you call it a learning community. And you're the principal of the Kennedy Learning Community. I love that. Okay, where'd that come from? Christine, do you want to do that one?
You know, I think it just came from discussions amongst all the stakeholders. And it fits who we are and what we do and the why, the purpose of what we're doing. It's a community of learners, no matter the age. But our focus is to be intentional and deliberate in our practice. And that's what we do when we are together working towards a common goal.
Wow. Wow. Beautifully said. I got to tell you, and I work with schools and school districts all over the country, even internationally on these podcasts and through our consortium, which I hope you two wonderful ladies join. Okay. But I never heard anybody call a school that. Is that what it says on the sign? Kennedy Learning Community? It doesn't say elementary school. What does it say on the sign?
On our media, yeah, it's Learning Community.
Wow.
But on the front, it just says Kennedy, and there's a giant cougar.
a giant cougar. I hope he's stuffed up there. I hope he's not running around. Let me guess that Lindsay USD, the mascot is a cougar. Am I correct?
Kennedy's mascot is a cougar.
Kennedys. Sorry about that. Sorry about that. No. Go Cougars. All right. Very good. Melissa, how are you?
Good.
Good. Tell me about this. You're the coordinator of educational systems across the whole district. Tell us about, I hope I pronounced it right, Tulare County. Where is that? And about Lindsay Unified. Tell us about the whole district.
Tulare is how we say it. And Tulare
Thank
County
you.
Is in the middle part of California. It is definitely the part of California that nobody thinks about when they're thinking California. It is not the beaches. It is not the mountains. It is in the middle of the two. We are a heavily agricultural area. If you are eating produce, it was likely grown somewhere in our neck of the woods.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
We feed America and a lot of our, especially we have a huge dairy industry and citrus industry. So our community is fairly rural. Lindsay is 30 minutes from the nearest city and the nearest city has about 125,000 people in it. And so
what is the nearest city? What is the nearest city?
Visalia.
Visalia?
Visalia. Yes.
We pronounce these things differently. I'm learning how to pronounce these names in California. Visalia. Thank you. I actually have heard of that. Okay. Wow.
Yes. So, and then our district really has a unique focus. We're a performance-based district. We really believe that it's important that learners move through our system with a clear understanding of what they need to master, and that when they leave, they really have mastered that that learning. And so we do not just move learners from grade to grade. They're required to show mastery on certain targets and standards. And we really want to guarantee that when they leave, we have prepared them for life after our system, so that they can go out and be successful when they go to college or when they choose whatever career that they want. They have that to lean back on, and we haven't just passed them through with D's their entire life, and they're really leaving without any skills.
That is wonderful, and I bet that works great. You mentioned that it was a rural community, an agricultural breadbasket, if I may. All right, and thank you for doing that, by the way. That's hard work, and we do appreciate it all over the country. I'll think of you every time I eat what's the big thing, lettuce? What's the big thing?
Oranges.
There you go. Okay, every time we eat an orange, I'm going to think of you. All right, just so you know that. Okay, that must be pretty out there with all the orange grows. Am I right?
Yes. When you can see, yes. We also have a lot of pollution from San Francisco and Los Angeles, so we're
I'm sorry to hear that. But you mentioned that it was rural, obviously. Okay, and I live in a rural area, too. All right. But I'm curious about the demographics of the community. A lot of people mentioned free and reduced lunch, and I do that just to get a picture for everybody as we're talking about all this. You know, the demographics in terms of ethnic groups, the demographics in terms of free and reduced lunch. What would they be?
We are a majority Hispanic, and we actually have about, I think 90% is about where we are right now on free and reduced, but because of the large numbers, we just provide free lunch to all of our learners. It's actually easier when you have that high of a percentage that qualifies to just provide it to all. And so we also have a large migrant population because we are so heavy in farming. And so we have our own – we're one of the few areas in the state. We have our own migrant region. So we have our own office and everything just for our district, which is not very common. But we do have a large number of learners who come and go, but it's an interesting migrant population in that they come and go right at the end of the school year and they come a little bit late. So they don't miss a large amount of school. Which is, you know, something that I think is really unique for us and makes us lucky in that, and our learners, that they are not missing a large portion of the school year by moving somewhere else and coming back and forth.
Yeah, and I have to ask that since you brought up that migrant. Obviously, they're moving around, the definition of migrant, but do you find that most of the kids come back to the same place, or is it a different migrant population each year? In other words, can kids go – I understand the situation. Can a kid really go through K-12 over that course of time?
Yes, most of our learners come back. Sometimes they'll be enrolled in a different learning community for K-8 mm-hmm. just because of where they live when they come back. But they do often come from K-12. They stick around.
What an interesting district. That's very, very cool. I really love this. Okay. And what is the percentage of Latino, Hispanic, however you want to say that, Latinx, whatever the right word is these days? What's the percentage?
I'm trying to think of the exact percentage. I want to say it's in the 80%, 85%.
Wow. You guys are doing a great job out there. Congratulations to Kennedy, the Kennedy Learning Community. Again, I love that, on being an exemplar school from curriculum associates. I can tell just by this conversation so far, you guys are really, really doing great. Okay. Talk about what this learning community means, K-8. And I have to say, I just love that phrasing. Instead of a school, it's a learning community that's saying something. Words do matter. Both of you. I think it's wonderful. By the way, before I go on, Melissa, are you I have the title of Coordinator of Educational Systems and Programs. Since you guys use different wording, are you also the superintendent? I don't
no,
know where that.
Not at all.
Okay. I was curious.
I do a lot of the other duties as assigned. No, I am in charge of federal programs and work with curriculum and instruction systems. So.
Oh, thank you. Okay. And Christine is the principal, okay, of Kennedy Learning Community. Now let's go talk about Learning Communities K-8 and talk. You guys actually put that into action. It's not just a phrasing. All right. Talk about the elementary, middle grades, how they work together. Talk about that.
So I was a part
whoever, whichever of, one I, of you. We can go back to Christine if you want. Whichever one of you. I'm putting you in charge, Melissa.
Melissa's already started. Go, girl.
Yeah. I can talk on this because I was a part of the district when we made the shift to K-8. So when I started, we had 3 K-6 elementary schools. And we had 1 middle school. And as the district was growing and we knew we needed to be building some new sites, we were really looking at the middle school. It was not very successful. The learners were coming in. It was, you know, they have their short two-year stint there. It's not a lot of time to make relationships with the learning facilitators, which is what we call our teachers. So it was, they were in and out. They were not being very successful. And then they were moving on to the high school and they were taking all of their problems from the middle school on with them to the high school. And so through a lot of community meetings and different things, what the district decided to do was shift to a K-8 structure. And the idea was really to make it more of a community at each of those sites where you had the older learners with their younger brothers and sisters helping look after them. They're smaller in numbers in each grade level, so it really brings a sense of family to it. And we really saw the first year was a little rough because we had learners who were used to being big and bad. They were looking forward to their life at the middle school, and it was like, nope, you're still standing in your line at your K-8 school on the blacktop. And so the first year was a little rough, but the just the community feeling, and Chris can talk about this a little bit because they've really built it at Kennedy in a unique way, but the community feeling between the K through eighth grade, where you really have the sense of the older learners are watching out for the little ones. They're helping them. You know, it just really does bring about this community. They know their kindergarten teacher is still asking about them when they're in eighth grade. They're moving through, you know, they don't lose that sense of community for all of those years, and they really become well known and seen at the sites. And so it just brings about a much larger family feeling.
Right. I'm very impressed with your district, and I have to tell you something, Melissa and Christine. For years, and I've been doing these podcasts for years, I have said that the word teacher is the wrong word, okay? What we need to do is emphasize the learning, not the teaching. And I have said that we should change the title of the profession from teacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm a learning facilitator. I have said those words literally 1,000 times, okay? And finally hear somebody's actually calling their teachers that, okay, really makes me feel pretty damn good, okay? You're not doing it because of me, but you're thinking along the same lines I am. It's the learning that matters, not the teaching. If people ain't learning, the person ain't teaching, okay? It's that simple. Congratulations, guys. I really appreciate that. Chris, what's it like being K-8? The kids aren't always there. What's going on?
Well, you know, I'll just springboard right off of what Melissa said. The unique facet of a learning community is that there's accountability amongst all. It's not just the one learning facilitator and their learners. It's the learning facilitator and all the learners, no matter what content level. And at Kennedy, we've taken that approach to heart. So we've invested our core values, and we've made them a part of our working practice. So we operate with that key word of accountability. So I'm accountable for my learning actions, my behavior actions, how I interact with others' actions. And no matter if I'm a content level 8 learner, the part of my team, and we call them houses here at Kennedy. So we have our learning community and then 4 houses within us that they're like, our 4 teams, and they come up with this ideal vision of 4 houses, 1 family, and that was learner created.
Wow.
And so that accountability piece means I'm going to have a conversation if I'm your partner in second content level 2 and I'm a content level 8 learner. I'm working with you on those things. I'm having that conversation during our outdoor read when we all read to each other, or we have a athletic event together and I'm mentoring that content level 2 learner, or I'm having a bad day and I just need to walk hand in hand with my little one. That approach has been exhilarating, and it is an honor to watch it happen in person.
Yeah, wow.
So have you ever watched the movie Harry Potter?
Sure.
Okay, so the easiest way I can explain is Harry Potter, that Hogwarts castle, and there's those 4 houses inside of Hogwarts, Slytherin, Hufflepuff, kind of the same thing. But we took our core values, and they are attached to the district strategic vision. And we have courage in the house of excellence, in the house of integrity, and the house of risk-taking. And all 4 of those core values represent a group of our learners who are after that mission to show that exemplary value in their learning and in their interactions. And it also plays into the academic piece, which is why we're here today, is we're talking about how that plays into that academic accountability and sustaining that. And so we want to make sure that everything that we do at Kennedy is embodying that same accountable action. It's intentional. It's deliberate. And that's what makes us successful to each other,
wow.
Not just in a number, not in a percentage, successful to each other. And that's why it's called a learning community.
Wow, and it is a learning community. Beautifully said. And you've got to take that cougar down, put an owl up there, okay, since it's Hogwarts. Okay, you have no choice. It's got to be the Kennedy Owls, okay? That's all there is to it. You know,
I guess don't I do need that. To grow a gray beard then, right?
Yes, don't do that. Don't do that without thinking about it. But it's just an idea, okay? You did mention the Hogwarts thing. Melissa, is this repeated in every school, every I'll call elementary community within the every K-8 community within the school district, or is Kennedy the only one that's doing this, Melissa?
Kennedy's the only one that is doing the house model. Other learning communities have different ways that they bring together the different grade levels and create that that family feel. It's all kind of unique to the staff and the learners that are at those sites and coming up with what is going to work best for them and how they're going to support each other.
Well, you can play Quidditch, so obviously Kennedy's got the winner. Boy, no wonder you guys won this exemplar school from a curriculum associates. This is just
we
wonderful.
We are very unique and creative.
You are a very unique place. I got to tell you, by the way, you mentioned the free and reduced lunch before. I have this feeling the kids eat very well because you're the produce bread basket of the country. I hope they're getting lots of good salads and stuff at lunch. We'll just leave that for later, but I would hope – comes right to the door. Okay. Let me ask you, okay, you just mentioned this, okay? By the way, thank you for that beautiful musical interlude. I appreciate that. Okay.
Sorry.
That was a joke. That was a joke. Okay. Now, I want to ask you, you just brought it up, Christine. All this is wonderful. It's a family-oriented school. It's creating a family, a learning community. Talk about the academics, Christine, at your school.
Yes. So, and are we specifically talking about Ready?
You can talk about whatever you want, okay? This is not a commercial for curriculum associates. Everybody who's listening here knows how wonderful they are. I will say that proudly and clearly, but you talk about whatever you want.
Okay. So about 3 years ago, when I was a learning director, so that's very similar to an assistant principal, I had the pleasure of working with a principal, and his name was Nick Namba, and he was he was a visionary. And he talked about creating a culture of learning that was based on a real-world authentic approach, putting into application of what we would actually want to learn about and then go and engage and be a problem solver for the world, solution-based. And so that vision over the years just started transforming, and we were blessed with building we took part of our gym that wasn't being used, and we transformed it into a design lab. And so inside this design lab last year, we had the ability with our TSL grant to have our upper grades, content level 4 through 8, train in relevant and authentic learning, really unpacking the learning targets, creating a vehicle for learners to take the learning in a concentrated way and go after a solution that they see in front of them in the world. And so we were not only exposing them to background knowledge and vocabulary that's not necessarily apparent in our area, but also giving them the ability to think that beyond just learning in a math text or an ELA text is the ability to take those skills and transform them to what we need to guarantee in our learning as we progress throughout the years. So they would come across, and it's very similar to project-based learning, but
it's wonderful.
We take that learning and we create it so that there's opportunities for the learners to see the importance of reading. So instead of us just teaching guided reading or how to do a share read, they see that that is the tool that we use in order to access more. So we're going to gobble up more learning because that's our nature.
Yeah.
And that's the philosophy that we've used here in our academic approach. And then in our great content level 3, it's about providing the foundations to get to that gobbling up, if you will. So I hate to say that it's just an upper grade phase, but because of what happened last spring, we weren't able to launch K-3 like we wanted to. But once we get back in the groove of things, K-3 will be our next launch. And it is amazing to see how a kindergartner can interact and think about their learning in a way that is relevant and age developmentally oriented to them, where they're fascinated and inquiry-based about what they're actually integrating in. So,
you know,
amazing.
I got to say something. When I hear you speak, and we're far away from each other, 3,000 miles away from each other, your enthusiasm bubbles through the line, bubbles right through the conversation. It really does. You're really heartfelt and sincere when you talk about these things. It comes through.
Thanks. I'm just the person steering the ship. The ship would not be here if it wasn't for the amazing
That's an important
people.
Job. Don't sell yourself short. Don't sell yourself short. There's a lot of ships that run aground. Don't believe me. Okay, don't sell yourself short. Everybody's chipping in, but you're important there, I got to tell you. All right? It really is. But what you're doing is just you can feel it, and you're also speaking for your whole faculty and staff. Okay? And I can hear that. This isn't a one-man show. Okay? Or one-woman show, if I might. This is really something. I must ask you guys something, because you mentioned that so many of the children who go to school are a migrant, okay, and their moms and dads go from, obviously, I'm saying something obvious, from place to place, okay, to make a living. But there was a pandemic, still is, I might add, okay, starting in March. And we're very concerned about people moving around, okay, and carrying or bringing the disease with them. And we're also concerned, I would imagine, that because the kids don't have a permanent house, and maybe you can explain that, in your area, they come back, you know, after going somewhere else. What happened in the spring when all this happened? I mean, you've built this beautiful community. You're working it all together. Chris said he had to put some stuff off. Melissa, put the pandemic and the challenges of migrant education together. It must have been very, very difficult. Melissa.
So we had some foresight, not thinking anything like this would ever happen, but
yeah,
we have for years been working towards an understanding that all of our learners need access to learning 24/7. So they may come and go for a week at a time or go somewhere, but that they needed access to that learning. So over the past few years, we've really been building up our one-to-one with devices. So all of our learners from TK and actually now with the pandemic preschool through 12th grade all have devices. And we also began working on a community Wi-Fi program. Because we do have such a low socioeconomic status and we're rural, it is hard for people to get Wi-Fi. So several years ago, the district started putting in a community Wi-Fi program. And so it was a lot of work from our tech department as well as our business department in finding the funds, but it really was prioritized. And a lot of we get a lot of grants in our district. You know, if you don't apply for it, you're not going to get it. So we apply for many things. And this is one area where it wasn't grant driven. So we were very fortunate to have people in the business department and a superintendent who saw the importance of our learners having community Wi-Fi, and they found ways to be fiscally responsible in other areas to allow us to build out a community Wi-Fi program in our district so that a large majority of our learners, when we closed in March due to COVID, they still had access to the internet. So it was not a whole process in how are we going to get them a device and how are we going to get them access to the internet. It was more our K-3 had not been taking their devices home. So that was the one, you know, instead of them leaving them at school the last day, off they went with them home. And that was the minor change that had to happen to have learners continue to be connected to their learning facilitators and to their learning when we went into closure.
You know, that's astounding. And you know, I can't tell you, and you know, my standing line, and we're very much into equity and access. That's the name of our magazine. And ladies, please go over, join our consortium at ace-ed.org. It's free. We'd love your voices over there. You know, but we have a cliche. On November 13th, we found out that we kicked the can down the road long enough, and when we got to the end of the road, it was a cliff, and everybody fell off together. But you guys did not fall off. All right, you were ready. You got the picture, okay, before the event happened. And I got to tell you, you should pat yourselves on the back. You're one of the few districts that was able to do that, okay, without an emergency crazy situation. So again, congratulations, okay, to Lindsay USD. It's amazing. You guys are on top of things. Who's your superintendent?
His name is Tom Rooney, and he has led the district through all of these changes that really have put us in a position to serve our learners the best way we can.
Well, I mean, you guys are just constantly impressing me during this conversation. It's absolutely amazing. And, you know, you wanted me to talk about this, and I know you guys, now I'll bring this up. You guys do work iReady, Curriculum Associates, big program, iMath, that sort of thing. All right. But you're also, this I thought was very interesting. You wanted me to bring this up. You're really also, now that we got the access part down, involved in a lot of print materials. Okay, and I think this is probably more Chris. Well, it might be Christine's thing. I don't know. I'll ask Christine. You can swing it back to Melissa if you want. You guys wanted me to emphasize the print thing as well as the digital. What's going on? How do you combine them, Christine?
So the the print curriculum helps us to sustain and use it as that tool to help build longevity in the learning. And so having that readily available for learners to work in has not only taken what the approach was before COVID and harnessing it during instruction, but it's actually become that tool that learners use in reference and are constantly interacting with it to go back and learn and then have a conversation with their learning facilitator about, okay, what is this that I'm learning and why am I learning this? Oh, okay, as they reference the text. It's no longer just here's my text in front of me and I have to learn from it. It is actually an integration. And I think to go back to what you were saying earlier about the equity and access piece, I think one of the things when you bring up how COVID played a huge developmental shift for school districts to now start thinking, oh, my gosh, what do? We have to do this technically. And we were already in that position. It wasn't a matter of survival or getting there or not even necessarily a pat on the back. It was about the equity and the access to begin with. How could we honestly look in their eyes and that be the learner's eyes and say that they weren't important enough to have both platforms in the 21st century? And so using those both in an integral and equitable approach provides that access, whether they're migratory and they don't have Wi-Fi where they're going, or whether they're at home and the Wi-Fi goes out, or that we have Wi-Fi in a district to provide for all, so that they can enjoy and engage and have fun in their learning. And that's really what it's about.
Melissa, do you have like a clone machine there so you can clone Christine?
We would need a very large machine to clone all the important people in the district.
Nicely said. Nicely said. I love that. Good comeback, okay? You ladies are wonderful, and your district is doing just great. And, God, it's just amazing what you've done. I congratulate you again, Chris, on the Exemplar School Award from Curriculum Associates. Again, my good friends. But, boy, they hit a winner with you guys. I got to tell you, I think we've impressed a lot of people listening. And I tell you, the host, yours truly, is very impressed as well. I hope you take a minute, go over to ace-ed.org and see what we're doing over there. Enjoy our magazine. Join the consortium. It's all free. Ladies, thanks a million.
Great.
I really appreciate it.
Thank
you were terrific. Okay. Stay safe. Okay. And keep your kids safe out there. Okay.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
Oh, thank you. And every time I eat an orange, I'm going to think of you guys. All right. Tulare County. Got it. All right.
Thanks.
Bye. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. But my day is pretty much third over, and theirs is just beginning. Thanks for being with us at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning from California, ladies. And I'll make you feel good. It snowed in Massachusetts the other day, and a little snow on the ground. A little snow came down, flying down even here in Maine the other day. Aren't you glad you live in California? All right. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org, our Equity Consortium website. Please go over, as I always say, join in with us, okay? Read our magazine. You'll really like it. Listen to all our podcasts. I got to tell you, just an amazing district. Thanks again, Chris and Melissa from Lindsay USD out in California. Thank you, Curriculum Associates. Everybody, stay safe out there. We got another show coming up in about an hour. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.